different questions or things that premises that people assume, from the most primitive idolatry to even perhaps certain sophisticated questions in current society, like maybe God is this and maybe God is that. The nonsensical questions are all based on that one thing. The premise of the question is maybe God is me, maybe God has a sense of humor, all these types of things that you read about in today's press about the great metaphysicians of our times is all based on one thing. It's all based on the assumption that God is something like us. It's taking something from our personality and trying through that to have some kind of idea of the Creator. That, the Torah says, is complete of utter zayin. So that's something which I think has to be strongly stated. The second, I think, is something which should be a davar pashut to any person that has any kind of depth in Torah. The second thing that I take objection to is the statement that the Rav was a greater Talmud Chacham because he studied secular sciences. This is something which I think is a serious error. The Rav himself one time said about Reb Chaim that to say that Reb Chaim would have been one iota greater had he studied other disciplines is absurd. Okay. Now, perhaps you ask me a question. You say, but there's a Marsha in Arius that interprets a Gemara. And the Gemara says, Gemara is speaking about knowledge of astronomy and knowledge of geometry. And the Gemara says, that one of the Tanoim, according to Marshall's interpretation, one of the Tanoim was greater because he had great mathematical knowledge, mathematical skills. So you'll say, that's the same thing? What's the difference if he studied the mathematics from a book or if he studied in a university? Doesn't make any difference. So what you're saying is, that through the study of other disciplines, a Tana became greater, according to the Maharsha. So, how can we say such a thing? So what I want to say to you is that there is a tremendous difference between the statement of the Maharsha and between the statement that was made at the Hesped. What precisely is the difference? I'll give you a chance to... Let me be a little more precise. The thing is like this, that there are three things that you have in any science. Three parts to the science. One part of the science is a specific kind of exercise that the mind goes through when it studies the science. If you're studying math, you're exercising your deductive powers. Okay? The second thing that you have in a science, that's why some people are good at math, some people can't do math. Why can't they do math? Because they don't have the deductive ability. It's a certain ability, certain quality. Some people are just wizard, people are not. Okay. The second thing that you have in a science is the information of the science. Science offers certain information. Every science gives man certain information. Studying biology, you have information in biology. If you're studying astronomy, you're gaining information about the universe. Every science has to convey information. That's the purpose of a science. The third thing that a science has is an epistemology and a methodology. A certain methodology that's used in a science. There's a methodology that's used in studying biology, there's a different methodology that's used in the mathematics. There's a different methodology that's used in physics. The science always, science, every area demands a certain kind of an approach and a certain kind of thinking. Physics today is not using the same approach that they used 100 years ago. They have to modify the approach because of the problems they encounter and the nature of the solutions that they construct, and they start seeing that the methodology has to change, the approach has to change. All right? approach in science changed from 100 years ago to now. A certain methodology, a certain approach. Now, what I'm saying is as follows. If a person says that the study of a certain science helps you in Torah because it exercises a component of the human brain, and therefore by exercising that component, it'll help him in the study of Torah, there is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it. That's interesting. That's absolutely true. Okay? If a person will say that information that is gained from a certain science will help a person understand Torah, that is not true. If I only give an example of what I mean, because of course you have to have information in order to understand Torah. Rashi studied all the various trades in order to understand what the Gemaras mean in certain cases. I don't mean something like that. What I mean is, for instance, somebody said rather recently that the Arnevis, it says in the Torah, the Arnevis, the rabbit, chooses cut. So they said, what do you mean? The rabbit doesn't chew its cut. So they said, what it means is, because there's a certain process, biochemical process that takes place through the fact that the hair eats its droppings, that it causes a certain biochemical process inside the intestines, which is similar to the biochemical process that takes place in ruminants. So now you see that from studying biochemistry, you understand the Pasuk of the Torah. This, I say, is nonsense. Because that means that the Bali Tasers didn't understand what the Torah means by Arnevis, and everyone who the Torah was given to until this recent time didn't know what Arnevis was. That's impossible. To say that because we have new information that we understand the Torah better than Nevi'im, better than Chachomim, Gedolim, Chazal, we understand the Psukim better now, that is nonsense. Utter nonsense. Because the Torah was not given to Malach HaShareis, and the Torah wasn't given to man that man should be caught and left in a quandary as to what the Pasuk means until certain discoveries take place in science. This is absolute nonsense. Then we have the third category. The third category is the methodology and approach. To say again that the methodology of Torah cannot be understood unless we take the methodology and borrow the methodology from science is again to say that Chachmei Yisrael were deficient in their methodology and their approach of Torah because they didn't have access to the methodologies and approaches of the modern science. Is to be Makrish Magidel. Is to say, what does Makrish Magidel mean? It means to make them smaller. Show a deficiency. That's what Makrish means. Akasha means to diminish. In Bava Kama, you have in Ezekiel, if you Makrish a Behema, it means you diminish it from its size. To say that Chazal, or Gedolei Yisrael, or Balei HaMasorah, if they would have access to modern ways of thinking, that they would be able to understand Torah, that their methodology and approach to Torah would have been improved, is to be makrish magidei Torah. It's diminishing them. It's saying that they were inferior, and had they had some kind of knowledge that modern man has, they would have understood Torah and they would have been greater in Torah. That is clear. That's makrish magidei. So, therefore, on the contrary, the Rav one time said that the methodology that we use in Gemara is far superior to the most advanced methodology that is used by scientists. It's more precise and it's more advanced. And on the contrary, the Rav says in the end of his book Halachic Mind that the time will come when people will see from the methodology of Torah a whole new epistemology that will open up the world of knowledge in other spheres. Exactly the opposite. So to say that the Rav was a greater Talmud Chacham because he involved his mind in methodologies, other methodologies of other subjects, is to say that the Torah that he received from his father, from Chaim, was deficient in methodology. This is false. This is Kenegad HaTorah. That's basically the statement that was made. The statement was not made that if a person exercises his mind in a certain way, that he can improve his mental powers, his mental abilities. That Chazal say already. Chazal say that. Sometimes Tanoim would say something to a Talmud, even though it wasn't true, L'chidudi. L'chidudi means that there are things you could use, you can take up to extract certain things, even from the Gemara. And even though it's false, you can abstract certain things in order to sharpen the mind, sharpen the abilities. But that is not what that's why geometry, the Maharsha says geometry is something which gives a person, increases a person's deductive powers. And he interprets that Chazal to mean, it's not simple that that's the Pshat of Chazal, but he has a right to interpret the Chazal. He interprets the Chazal to mean that since one of the Tanoim was increased his deductive abilities through mathematics, he was superior in when it came to, in general, when it came to the process of deduction, which of course is the process of deduction, is the process used in Torah. But that is a very different thing than saying that the methodology and the approach and the whole way of grasping Torah will be improved or be enhanced upon by studying another discipline. That would mean that Torah was given to us in a deficient manner, that we don't have the proper approach, we don't have the proper methodology, and that God expected us to wait until science advances to gain in our ability to approach Torah. This is absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. That's the point I wanted to make. Okay. Question was raised, could you say, for instance, knowledge of modern psychology would advance a person in his knowledge of the Torah? My answer is as follows, that if a person means by that modern psychology teaches man greater insight into human nature than Abaya and Rava had in terms of perfection, false. Absolutely false. If you will say that the world was under certain misconceptions and distortions, that society was distorted because of certain crazy ideas, and that certain areas of psychology shows that these ideas are crazy, and therefore brings a person back to the way of thinking that is contained in Chazal and was contained in Chazal all along, certainly that's possible. Certainly that's possible. In terms of correcting an error, that of course is always possible. Because man is so crazy that he can go away on all kinds of assumptions, and it takes him a lot of work to see that these assumptions are false, and then he sees what the Gemara saw, what Chazal saw. But to say that modern psychology is going to give you a greater insight into the philosophy of Yadus than Chazal had is absolutely false. The Rambam himself says that it happens to be a beautiful piece in the Mora. The Rambam says that Saturn is 100 million. Chazal say that Saturn is 100 million miles away from the Earth. Okay, so the Rambam says that that people criticized Chazal because they said they're exaggerating. The Chazal exaggerated. So the Rambam shows that according to the way the Greeks understood it, it's exactly the same distance. Of course, we know today it's more than eight times it's more than eight times that amount. Okay, but the Rambam makes a point in mentioning in the Mora that what Chazal say when it comes to astronomy is not from Nevi'im, and it's not from the Torah, and it's just what based upon the knowledge that they had at the time. And the Rambam makes it clear that this knowledge grows with man's continued investigation and probing of the universe. So when Chazal say something in those areas, they're depending totally on what the scientists say, and science wasn't given to man at Sinai. And therefore, science is something which man keeps groping centuries and centuries and centuries, the greatest intellects, and they build one upon the other, and they uncover new things. God didn't see fit to give us the knowledge of science at Sinai. but knowledge of a way of life, knowledge of philosophy, knowledge in terms of philosophical psychology, that is all the Torah. Their Torah is not deficient in any manner whatsoever. I didn't say that the study of abnormal psychology was given at Sinai. Torah does not concern itself with that study. That's a study that has to do with therapy. Therapy is not the Torah's area. I'm talking about the basic underlying approach and understanding of the human mind, the normal human mind, that was given at Sinai. The studies and abnormal psychology, clinical studies, that's not the area of Torah. Mm-hmm. Chazal didn't sit down and study crazy people. They didn't do that. But they understood whatever was necessary to understand the nature of man, his underlying motives, what the nature of these motives are. That was understood. That was given at Sinai. Because that has to be given at Sinai, because you can't function without that. Now, if you gain knowledge in the area of abnormal psychology, that's a different field. That's just like biology. That's another field. That's outside of Torah. To say that you can understand the Pasuk and the Torah deeper, better than Chazal understood it because you studied clinical psychology, is Makrish Magidah. Actually, what the Rambam is saying in the Maran of Chochem is really is not anything that the Torah doesn't say. The Torah says, Lasos, I forget the Pasuk. Kefuka Losumud Lasos Kesovas Agayim Ha'ela. So what the Torah is saying is that these To'evos of these primitive people, you have to understand them, and the Allah is Lahovin Ulahoros. The person should study these things and he should understand them, and through the understanding and through the method and the knowledge of Torah that he has, and through his abilities when he understands these things, he will be removed to the nth degree from these primitive emotions. It's what Avraham Avinu did, it's what the Torah tells a person to do, that's what the Rambam means. Rambam doesn't mean anything new. Rambam doesn't mean anything new. The Torah tells you that if you study the primitive aspects of man and with the knowledge of Torah, with the abilities of analysis that the Torah gives you, that you'll be able to understand to a greater degree what the sources of these emotions, and that helps a person to remove him from Avodah Zarah. That's what the Torah says. The Rambam doesn't say anything new. The Rambam doesn't say anything new that the Torah doesn't say. If the Rambam would study modern clinical psychology, you would not gain any insight in understanding Richuk of Avodah Zarah. If you say that, then you're wrong. We do not say, would he have gained? Let me put it this way. That a person, a human being, when it comes to the area of conjecture, when it comes to the area of giving a pasuk, tame a mitzvah. So, of course, if a person can only understand the time and mitzvah according to it's an area of conjecture. The area of conjecture, of course, is based upon the knowledge of the time. The sphere of possibilities is based upon the available knowledge of the time. So, of course, as knowledge increases and certain ideas and certain things become knowledgeable, so certain things, you can eliminate certain possibilities. In that sense, it's correct. I mean, in that sense, correct. That's a different kind of an area. That's an area of conjecturizing about Tamei HaMitzvah. Yes, that's correct. The more knowledge a person knows, so he'll be able to remove certain possibilities which, due to his ignorance, he thought might have been a possibility. But this does not make the person... there's not a difference in approach or a difference in perception of the underlying perfection of man. See, if you're dealing with a particular point, yes, There was a particular point, yes. For instance, if a person doesn't know, a person doesn't know biology. So you could say maybe the reason why the Torah gave this mitzvah was because of a certain benefit that there is to man, aside from, and I'll repeat what the Rav said. The Rav said, in Tamei mitzvahs, you're not saying the reasons for the mitzvah. You're saying certain benefits that are derived from the mitzvahs. And the Rambam even speaks about health benefits, too, the Rambam talks about. There are certain benefits. So a person doesn't know medicine, he might think that there's a certain benefit, which in fact is not true. Okay? Now, that is a mistake, and that's an error. In other words, one science shows it's not true, so you have to delete that Tam. That Tam is wrong. But that type of error is an error in a particular fact, a particular of Torah. That's correct. That a person, through gaining knowledge, can know that I have to eliminate that possibility because it's false. And without knowing that, he might think that's one of the benefits of Torah, and he'd be making a mistake. That's correct. But when it comes to the underlying philosophy and psychology and everything that's necessary in order to attain perfection, there is no difference. And if a person thinks that insofar as the essence of Torah is concerned, whether it's how to understand an idea of Torah, which is not I'm not talking about a particular point, I'm talking about a whole approach to understanding Torah, then you're talking about the perfection of Torah itself. Then if you say that modern knowledge adds to this perfection, then you're deviating from the premises of Torah. If you say that a particular Rishon gave a specific reason that he thought was a possibility of a benefit that Torah gives us, and as we found out, medically it's incorrect, so you have to strike it, so it was a mistake. So we know man is fallible, the greatest man, even the greatest Talmud Chacham can make a mistake, he can't go beyond his times, like the Rambam says, so therefore, he's limited by his times, the times he lives in limits him to knowledge of particulars. But in terms of perfection of man, that if you say is limited, then you're saying that Sinai is deficient. That's what's incorrect. So if a Rishon gives a particular reason, which he thinks, when I say reason again, I say as the Rav said, not Tamei HaMitzvah, and especially the Chinuch, Sharashei HaMitzvah, certain benefits that result from the Torah. Because there are many, many benefits that result from the mitzvahs. Some of them are even practical and physical benefits. If you think that a certain particular benefit exists, and in fact science shows it doesn't exist, we see today that Rishon made a mistake. So it's an error, and you have to strike that benefit out. But that is a particular fact, not something that affects the essence of perfection, which is based upon sound principles of philosophy, sound principles of psychology, and sound principles of epistemology and thinking. If you're going to tell me that the man was greater, if you say to me the Rav was greater, why? Because he knew a particular fact, that, of course, the more facts a person knows, so his knowledge increases. That certainly is true. But if you're going to say that his learning a Daf Gemara was improved because he studied in the university, then you're saying that there was improvement in the essential perfection that Torah gives, and you're telling me that the system of Torah is deficient. That is absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. To say that Rabbi Akiva wasn't able to think as well because he never attended a university is clear. I don't think it's proper. I don't think it's fair even. I'll tell you, I don't think it's honest. Let me put it this way. I don't like anything that's dishonest. To try to say, after we have a certain discovery in science, to immediately go back to Ramban and say the Ramban meant that discovery, when if that were the case, then all the people that studied the Ramban should have been able to come to the physicists when they had these problems. You say, what's the problem? Well, it's not Ramban. Well, this is the answer. it's absurd. It's an absurd kind of it's a hindsight. Now that we have the theory of relativity, we could say the Ramban knew the theory of relativity. But it would never work in reverse. It wouldn't work forward. It only works backward. And that's why I think it's a dishonest approach, and it's based upon, and dishonesty is always bad. Even if you're trying to be Meshabeach, Talmidei Chachamim and Gedolei Yisrael, dishonesty is bad. The Rambam tries to point that out in the Mar Nevuchim. That's just one of the things he tries to point out. The difference between true philosophy, which can only be possible with Torah, and corrupt philosophy, which is possible with every other religious system. Because corrupt philosophy does precisely that. What it does is, it takes the premises of those religions, and then tries to philosophize, to take different things and say this is what it meant and that's what it meant. It's a dishonest approach. The Torah doesn't need to be supported by modern science, and the Torah cannot be degraded by modern science. So if you're going to take the approach, you want to praise the Ramban because you're going to tell me he had Einstein's theory of relativity, then by the same token, you're going to have to degrade the Ramban where he says certain things in biology that we know are patently false. Okay? So you're going to have to... So this approach should be completely eliminated. Completely eliminated. We don't have to... You know what it's based on? It's based on an internal fear. It's based on a person who really doesn't have confidence in Torah. And they're afraid that there's something that could be refuted in Torah by modern science. So therefore, based on this fear, they want to show no, just the opposite. Modern science is opposed to Torah. There's nothing to be afraid of. The Torah is given by God. Every word is true. And it has nothing to be afraid of. It doesn't need your defense. It doesn't need your lack of respect. I mean, both ways are wrong. The Ramban was limited by his times, and what a person should do is he should try to understand the idea of the Ramban. That's it. It doesn't say it's relativity. There's no reason to say it's a theory of relativity. As I said, I don't think that holds any water. And if the Ramban made certain mistakes in biology, then a person, what is wrong is what I tell you all the time. What is wrong is that it's very wrong the way they translate all these things. Because the average person could take some of those Rambans, and I've seen it done in books, where they want to ridicule Torah. They'll take from Chazal, they'll take from certain Rishon, and say, look, this man said this thing. We know this is absurd today. You don't accept his judgment with regard to this. Why do you accept his judgment with regard to how to live your life? That is the common argument. Okay? Now, of course, only a fool could say such a thing. Because a person who ever studied the Ramban and sees what an intellect the Ramban is would know a very simple thing. And that's not just the Ramban. The greatest minds in the world existed at the same time as the Ramban, and you take the things that they said, and you'll think that they're crazy. Do you think it's because the average person is so much smarter than these geniuses? You take a Descartes. Descartes' medicine, today you'd laugh at. You'd laugh at it. See, you mean because the average guy is so brilliant, he's like a Descartes. He's smarter than Descartes. Take a look at Descartes' mathematics, and let a person try to figure out one step ahead. Won't be able to do it. The average person, beyond the complicated performance of putting on his television and closing it, is not really capable of very much greater intellectual activity. But he's a great chacham, because he knows that what Descartes said was crazy. And people didn't know about the circulation of the blood until Harvey. So he is smarter than all these people that came before. And so always say, you know, but say, these people are stupid. They didn't know the blood circulates. This great chacham made the discovery himself. You see? But the answer is obvious. The answer is that the person is so stupid, so dull, that he doesn't have the ability to even know what he would not know were he in a different framework of knowledge. He doesn't have that ability. He is so dull that he can't even imagine that if he were in this framework, he wouldn't know anything. You see? So he cannot. He's not capable of evaluating what the human mind would do in other situations. And immediately his ego grabs him, and he thinks he's a great genius. You see? That's why it's bad to translate. It's wrong. If I had the ability to control a situation, I would absolutely usher. Absolutely usher. Because what this does, it leads to a degradation of Torah. And I haven't studied the Ramban insofar as the theory of relativity, and I would just say one thing. I would be pretty sure that what the Ramban says and the theory of relativity are not identical. It's an absurd kind of a thing. Are there certain ideas in the Ramban? I'll give you an example. Certain things, yes. Give you an example. From the Rambam I just mentioned in the morning, the Rambam says that people ridiculed Chazal because they stay, because Chazal stated that the distance between Saturn and the Earth is 100 million miles, and they said that the Chazal exaggerated. So Rambam says you shouldn't say that about Chazal, because the Greek mathematics comes to the same conclusion. I believe Rambam is very careful there, where he says, if you look at the Rambam closely, I think he says it's at least that distance. Okay. You check it out. But anyways, the greatness of that Chazal, it's a very good example. The greatness, what is the greatness of that Chazal? The greatness of the Chazal is, why did people ridicule the Chazal? Why did they ridicule Chazal? Because Chazal said that Saturn is so distant from the Earth. You know why? Because people are basically egoistic. And they don't want to believe that there is a vast existence out there that has no relationship to them. Because that's a very humbling idea. Why is the whole universe existing? For my purposes, all I need is a few stars and a moon and a sun and this big, vast universe. What does it be so big for? So people ridicule Chazal. I'm serious. People ridicule Chazal for the same reason that the church condemned Galileo and Copernicus, because they preached the idea that the sun is at the center of the solar system, because it went against their ego. And that's why they just removed the ban from Galileo a few weeks ago. very quick at discovering their errors. But the point I want to make is that what the Rambam is showing is that Chazal didn't have that kind of a problem. Chazal didn't have that kind of a problem. Didn't bother them that there's a vast universe out there that exists that has nothing to do with man, and it's not created for man. It's created for its own sake, and because it's God's will. And it didn't bother their egos to believe that the distance between Saturn and the Earth could be so great that it doesn't have anything to do with man. There's no reason for such a thing. That is because Chazal were perfected through the philosophy and through the psychology and through the knowledge and through the method and through the system of Torah, so that an idea like that didn't bother them. And when they studied the works of the Greeks and they saw that the Greeks said that the distance is 100 million miles, they knew from their Hashkafas Olam that this is very possible. And they accepted it, because they accepted whatever knowledge dictates. That kind of perfection is what you see from Chazal. Not the greatness of measuring the distance between Saturn and the Earth. That is something that takes man centuries and centuries to be able to do, and he gains as he continues to grope and to investigate and to study. But that has nothing to do with Torah. If you're going to tell me that the Ramban discovered the theory of relativity, so you're going to have a big problem with the fact that Chazal thought that Saturn is 1/8 the distance that it actually is from the Earth. That's going to be a big problem. So if you're trying to show me that they anticipated all science, you're not going to be able to do that. And there's no need to do that. The need to do that is a deficiency in understanding their greatness. Because that is not part of their greatness. It's a mistake. It's a complete error. That's true. Why? That's a basic point. But if you look carefully at Chazal, when they say that God is Rachum, they say, Mahu Nikro Rachum, Afato Heye Rachum. Mahu Nikro Chanun, Afato Heye Chanun. There's a big difference between Nikro and Heye. Nikro means he's referred to that way. Heye means you are. So man is what we call Rachel. God is what we would call Rachel. There's a world of difference between those two things. And that's why Chazal, whenever they talk about, the only thing is that man can't describe it in any other way. But so that's why he has to use that term. But not be, yeah, because he can't describe. Say, what is God provides for every Bria, and his perfection demands that every Bria is taken care of. So what would you call that? We have no term for it. So we use a term that we would use in human parlance, which is Rachel. But we know that it's not the same thing. And anyone that thinks it is the same thing, and that it stems from the same source, is an Oved Avodah Zarah. It's worse. The Rambam says it's worse than Oved Avodah Zarah. The Rambam makes that point clear. Because Oved Avodah Zarah might have had the right idea about God, but it is the wrong idea about God. the reason that we lost certain things, and even with regard to approach, is the Rambam says because of the klolos, because of the tzoros of the klolos. Because the tzoros of the klolos prevented the proper continuity situations, and the klolos prevented proper continuity, and because of that, a lot was lost. But the mistakes were really the mistakes that were made, or mistakes that were not made by the great Balei HaMasora. And you see that the great Balei HaMasora wrote their works down, and that way it's safeguarded so that any chacham could really come along and always uncover it. But the fact that a lot of people will not be able to do that, that's because of the tzaras of the galus. So you see that, and where does the system really? What does our system today depend upon? What does our system today depend upon? It's basically one thing. It's rooted in the tkufas rishonim. That's what it is. It's rooted in the tkufas rishonim. Without the rishonim, we don't have anything. And even the Reb Chaim used to say that what is our job is to understand the Rishonim. The Sorah down to the Rishonim was in its perfect form. And it's true that after the Tekufas and Rishonim there were many deviations, but the fact is that the system was there intact enough for any great Chacham to be able to understand it and to see it well. But because of the Tzaras HaGolus, the amount of people that will be able to do it became smaller and smaller, became very small. But the system was safeguarded through a different kind of method. I mean, it's true, it has became more difficult. The question was raised, would Avas Hashem be incomplete without pursuing knowledge in general, all the knowledge that's available to man? The answer to that question is yes. It certainly would be if, as the Pasuk, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, that if a person closes his eyes to God's Chachma, so the Pasuk says, Olav Amakrovas, Paul Hashem, Lo Ra'u, Umaisa Yagav Lo Hibitu. Okay? There's no question about that. But I would still say that there are certain reservations that have to be made, that it depends on certain particular situations. If a person closes his mind to knowledge of God, that is a sign that he's deficient in Avas Hashem. That's a pasuk, another. But if you ask me, did every one of the Balei HaMasora involve themselves in the pursuit of knowledge in general? That I say is a delicate question, because the Rambam makes a point in the Shmona Prakim, and that is that you can't always look at actions of great chachamim and understand why they did certain things. And a person has to know that the Balei HaMasora had a certain responsibility to Klal Yisrael. If it weren't for them, we would not have Torah today. And a certain Balei HaMasora, in certain situations, may have had to, in order to preserve Torah, they may have had to engage in and spend hours, days, and years in the process of preserving the system of others, and may have been unable to spend time in pursuing general knowledge. This is not a deficiency in Avas Hashem. On the contrary, that is the greatest Avas Hashem, because it shows you that the person that is Avas Hashem, and his Avas Hashem is expressed in preserving the system of the others. Just like a person who would give up his life, Hashem Shemayim, will certainly be shortening his ability to pursue knowledge, but it's the highest level of Avas Hashem. So therefore, a person cannot make any judgments about Balei HaMasora whether they engaged and to what degree they engaged in worldly knowledge. In general, there's no question that Balei Masora is, if you look back in general, you see that they did impart themselves in studying as much as they could of the of worldly knowledge. But their primary preoccupation was ensuring that the system of Torah be safeguarded, carefully transmitted with the utmost detail and perfection, so that the system should be able to continue. That was their primary obligation and concern. So I therefore say that you cannot make a judgment about particular Balei Masora and what they did in particular times. Certainly, if you studied about the Balei Masora, you see how open-minded and how much they welcomed and never, ever denied knowledge of Chachmah. That's uncovered. Never. But how much each one was able to evolve himself in particular in studies that are about the universe in general, and give up time from Torah, that is a decision that only one of the Balei Masora can make. And to make a judgment about any of the Balei Masora, to say that this person didn't involve himself in the pursuit of science, therefore he didn't have Avodas Hashem, is absurd and nonsensical, and it's Makesh Magidel. These decisions, the Rambam says, decisions of great people can only be made by those people themselves, because they understand their own situation better than anybody else does. I saw a book recently. I wanted to put there in the Chazal because I wanted to say certain they weren't involved in certain areas of study. That's basically Makesh Magidel. Chazal had if a certain of Chazal were true, I'm not even sure whether it's true or not. But anyways, I'm just telling you the person, we can't make decisions. Chazal had to make one decision. The main decision was to preserve the system. And to preserve the system of Yadis was something that was time-consuming, painstaking, and it wasn't just because they wanted to enjoy intellectual pleasure. But much more, it was based on much more, and that's why we have the system today. But the general approach of openness to knowledge, and not simply openness, I'm sure openness is a bad word, I mean a desire and a yearning for chokhmas olokim in every area, that every one of Chazal had. Desire and yearning. Whether certain people had to sacrifice their lives in order to make sure that the system is preserved, that was a decision that the individuals had to make. But because that was the primary concern, we'd not have Torah today. But a desire and a yearning for an increase in the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether it's Asher B'dvar Ma'ariv or Oven, Chachma Pasei Afsharim, Lishunim Eshan Itim Amachat Hazmanim Masadus Kekachovim Mishra Seyim. Anyone that does not have a desire to really understand that Chachma and that Tvuna that he praises is obviously hypocritical. So you see from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah that this desire exists in every single one of the Balei HaMasora. Now, we have no business to in terms of trying to evaluate Gedolei HaMasora and try to establish what they did with that. It's none of our business to do with that time. That was, each one had to make his own decision. And the decisions were based upon because then I'll show you all these other Chazal that don't fit it. Don't use them. Didn't I make that clear? I didn't record this. Anyways, what the Rambam means by physics is not exactly what we mean by physics. Okay? It's not exactly what we mean by the term physics. The Rambam means by physics more of an Aristotelian term, which means the application of logic and reason to the phenomena of the external world, and it's a different kind of a meaning. It's not dependent so much on the on particulars, but the point that the Rambam's proof of the existence of God, which is based on pre-Newtonian, pre-Galilean physics, is not. It is not deficient from a philosophical, abstract, metaphysical point of view. The facts are, you have to change the facts. But the basic concept is a correct one. And the basic concept is that according to Yadus, if you trace back causes, you have to come to a point where you cannot go beyond. Where you simply, there must be a missing link somewhere. A point where you cannot explain anything according to physics, because the existence of those things are dependent upon the source of existence of the entire universe, which is God. And it's a mitzvah for a chacham who has perfected himself in Torah to search for that, to search through the frontiers of knowledge for that point. The Rambam did it in his time, and he thought he found the point with regard to the revolution of the planets. The truth of the matter is that it is the point is beyond that. The point is beyond that. But that has nothing to do with the basic philosophy and the basic idea. And nobody could know. Like today, everybody is sure about relativity. They feel this is definitely never going to change. But Einstein himself said that in the future, relativity could appear like a very small little point in the whole framework of knowledge. And ideas that would be more universal than the ideas of relativity can emerge, and just like Newton's ideas were superseded by more universal ideas. So everybody's always arrogant in their day. But what the point that Rambam was making is that science will always have to reach a point of the unexplainable. That's the Yesodim Torah. And every person in his generation should try to go as far as he can and then approach the frontiers of knowledge to approach that point. It could be it's the correct point, it could be it's not the correct point. I mean, we don't know. I mean, we don't even know whether physics is going to advance. There was a time when the physicists in the 1930s, they got together, they said it's the end of physics. Serious. And it's the end, can't go any further. That's quite possible. It's possible, especially in view of the modern physics, where it becomes impossible to differentiate between what is actual and what is how much the observer is projecting and how much the and then what is actually being observed. How much you observe because of the observer. So it's quite possible that you can come to a limitation in how much more you can observe. And if that's the case, the field is closed. Possible. We don't know what's going to happen in those areas. But what the Rambam is saying is that there always must be that point where you cannot explain, beyond which no science can explain. That's correct. That's correct. The Rambam sounds correct today. The Greeks thought that if you study mathematics, you improve the mind. Experiments were made in the 40s that showed that it's not true. That if you study mathematics, you improve the mind in mathematics. You don't improve it in other subjects. So, no carry-on. What? Logics will sharpen your mind insofar as logics, understanding logics is concerned. But you're not going to gain greater insight into Torah by gaining greater insight into logic. It's not going to help you understand the Daf Gemara better. No, because whatever is necessary to define on the Blad of Gemara is included in the methodology of learning Gemara. That's where it's at. Now you're going into a study of the mind. It's a different kind of a thing. Einstein was the greatest physicist, probably the greatest scientist of all time. He didn't solve these problems with studying logics. He solved the problem by working on the problem. He didn't study logics. They say, well, he was the most logical person in physics. Yeah, but that's not how he solved. He didn't study. And people who studied logics couldn't explain it. Because it's a different thing. It's like saying, in order to understand relativity, should you study logics? It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. It's a different field. Yeah. But, excuse me? No, it's a benefit of, the only reason why in the yeshiva where we studied logics is because what I did was I used the format to clarify certain concepts that we use in learning. Like what's gavra, what's theft, what's a chalishem, what's this. So I use that as a backdrop because that's that's using, it's a universal, to be applied universally, it can be applied to Torah. So I use it as a backdrop, but that's not the study of logic, that's included in the study of Torah. Anyone who studies Torah knows these basic ideas. It depends what, if he wants to understand logic, so not if he wants to understand the thesis. Yeah. If the Rav would have spent 20 more years studying logics, he would not have been more advanced in learning the Rambam. They know more logics. From Gemara, is the only subject that this carryover. This carryover because it employs deductive and inductive reasoning in a certain combination that is, and in a certain frequency, in a certain way that is not to be found in any other subject. That's the way it is. And a person, this is the only way for a person to really gain a whole method of thinking, which, and also it applies it universally. It applies it insofar as understanding halacha. It applies it insofar as understanding a medrash. It applies it insofar as understanding perfection in mankind. It applies it insofar as understanding psychology of man. It applies it universally. So the individual gains the ability to use the, to use this method in a universal manner. That's the only thing that helps a person in a universal way. But increasing your powers in a specific area, it was thought years ago that if you do increase your powers in a specific area, like the mind is like a great muscle. If you strengthen the muscle, it's going to be able to work better. But it didn't, experiments didn't bear that out. Yeah. What was the value of the Rav getting a PhD in philosophy?
That's just an example.
Okay. My answer is, again, it is not our business to go into the minds of great Baal Amasar, of great individuals, and try to discover why they did certain things. That's arrogance and nonsense. The Rambam makes that clear again in the paragraph. And they are dumb. So that is not our business. I'm not saying there is any value in getting a PhD from a university. As a matter of fact, I'm saying that a person could be wasting a great, great deal of his time, and it could be a tremendous source of good Torah. And if a person is not on a real level of Torah, it can be a source of giving him false ideas about Torah, about God, about Yadus, and everything else. So I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that knowledge of the universe in general, I'm not saying that that's not beneficial. I'm saying that that is something which is beneficial to a person who is on a certain level at a certain time, and his benefit is directly related to his Avas Hashem. That's what I'm saying. But it's a more complex issue. I discussed that in Torah Mada. Okay? So you have to know. The Rambam discusses it in the Yad HaChazakah, where he says that it's very nice to walk in the garden. That's metaphysics. And it's very nice to know my separatius. That's physics. But he says, if the first thing you have to master is Allah. That's the first thing. That's the bread, and that's the meat, and that's the basics. And any person that goes into these areas before he's mastered this is making a serious error. Rambam was spoke about in his time, and Kal Vachomer in our time, where people were raised with crazy ideas, that they're just going to increase their craziness. So the person must master first the system of Yadus, the system of Torah, system of Allah. If he doesn't, then he's doomed to failure. He's doomed. There's no way that he could save himself. It's a crazy idea to say that if I study the sciences, I'm going to come across something that will help me understand the Pasuk of the Torah. That's very nice if a person finished Kol HaTorah Kulo. In the meantime, the person is wasting his time studying all these things, and maybe he'll find something that's going to elucidate the Pasuk into something. It will help him to understand something of the Torah. What about all the Torah he doesn't know now?
Yeah,
it's possible. It can cause a person to reflect on something and to see an idea. Yes, it could be a stimulus for it. But if you're going to tell me that without that idea it's unknowable in Torah, and tell me that Abaye and Rava couldn't know because they didn't know that idea, that is crazy. And Abaye and Rava did not know modern physics. So you're caught. I mean, you're going to say modern science. So Abaye and Rava didn't know modern science. If you want to say that, then I have nothing to say. But to say that they were deficient in Torah because of that, that's Makush Magidel. So that's basically it. to say that if a person studies some kind of a discipline and it causes them to reflect on various aspects of Torah and he understands something better, of course, everybody knows it's possible. Absolutely possible. But to say that a person should, does that make sense? That a person should forego all the ideas that are right in front of him to go studying all things because maybe he'll understand a puzzle better? I mean, that's a crazy man's plan. The way to study, if your logic isn't clear, the way to get it is from the Daf of Gemara. That's the way to get it. I'm studying Gemara, a Sugya, and Pesach. That's what the Rambam says. Why you start first? Because it gives you the method of thinking, the method of learning. You can't get anywhere else. This is the place to get it. I can't do here what I've done in other shiurim to show the level of sophistication of the type of thinking and the knowledge that Chazal had and the insight they had into human nature and into psychology and other areas. I mean, I've done that over the years. I just showed you a few minutes ago from the fact that you see where Chazal understood Ruach Ra, that it was something they couldn't see, so it was invisible, so they called it a Ruach Ra, but they knew it goes, it's something, some type of contamination that enters the body through the orifices of the body. You see how exact and how correct and accurate that conjecture was, because it was based upon the sound method of thinking and analysis. But it's amazing, it's like one of the physicists said, Heisenberg said, that it's amazing when you study the ancients how far the human mind can go without any kind of technological tools. Without, it's amazing. He says, as you study the ancients, you see they're grappling with many of the same problems that the modern science, essentially, the same problems modern science grappling with. It's amazing how far a person can go. That's why Avraham Avinu didn't have much, they knew basically that certain, they knew up to certain algebra they had, in mathematics. But it didn't prevent Avraham Avinu from coming up with the most abstract concept in true ideas of God. So that is correct. But particulars you're not going to be able to do unless you have the apparatus. I mean, you can't do it. But in philosophy and psychology and knowledge has to do with the internal life of man. There's no reason why, for instance, the advances in psychology that were made in the past century, the true advances that were made, no reason why they couldn't have been made 3,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. It has to do with the human mind. All you have to do is study the mind. Nothing to do with modern technology. Nothing whatsoever. Okay, so as a matter of fact, there was many of those ideas are nothing more than a refutation of corrupt ideas that were being used for the last 2,000 years because of certain religious nonsense and stupidity. So, and avodah zarah. So the point I'm making is I'm not going to go into the greatness. That's, you have to learn Torah for that. But I would say this, that a person in this time in the yeshiva should dedicate and devote himself exclusively to one thing, mastering the Derech HaLearning, mastering the Blat HaGemara. Because if you want to perfect yourself, you want to have the tools of perfection, the tools of thinking, that's the only way you're going to get it. No other discipline will give this to you. You're wasting your time by going off into other disciplines. It's not sasya, it's not. Okay. Well, that's the same thing. To say that there are certain truths that the secular world has that we don't have in terms of perfection is absolute nonsense and stupidity. And I'll tell you something else. You know what it comes from? It comes from a lack of respect and a lack of understanding and a lack of havana in Torah. Because anyone that has a brain that ever studies in any university, anyone that has a mind that has studied Torah and studies in university could see that the methods that they're using, their ideas of education and their ideas of knowledge are primitive to any type of learning in the yeshiva. I don't have to prove this to anybody. Anybody could see it. I mean, their concepts and their methods and their groping into how to educate, what education is, their mamish in the embryonic stages. I mean, you have to realize. And it wasn't too long ago, in terms of years, that most of the world was illiterate. So the world as on a whole is just waking up to education. The Adas methods goes back to hundreds of thousands of years. The highest level of sophistication in Chachmah. It's absurd. And if you know the Adas and see what they're doing, the study of their educational methods, their educational systems, is mamish, based on primitive, crazy, nonsensical ideas. And I know a little bit about it because I have somewhat knowledge in the field. I study the field. I have a degree in the area. There's one halacha I want to mention. The halacha is in Shulchan Aruch that a person is not allowed to study Kabbalah until he's 40. The reason is, by Kabbalah, I don't mean what the people think is Kabbalah. What people call Kabbalah is because they studied it before they're 5, not more 40. So I'm not talking about that. That's just sensationalism. The point that the halacha makes, as halacha brought down the shach, means as far as philosophy, as far as other areas of investigation, the point that they're making is that unless a person is developed intellectually, he's going to look at these things, he's going to start pulling on his emotions, he's going to start projecting all kinds of crazy things, and he's become a kofa. That's why the Ramah says that if I'm not mistaken, I believe Ramah says in a tshuva, he says that Kabbalah is more dangerous, caused more upper courses than philosophy. Because of that, because it brings man into Avodah Zarah, to primitivism. Only a person who's an advanced thinker can know his mind and know how to protect himself from his emotions. That's what Chazal said. That's what Avodah is. You have to have the basic training. That I discussed that a number of times also, I believe. Mm-hmm. The historical approach. The historical approach is to try to psychologize people. And it's based on the fact that he has identified. I want to find out why a thinker said a certain thing. So I look into his environment, and that's the first step, is to make a careful analysis of his environment. The second step is to make a careful projection onto his personality. This way, in this exact method, I discover how this thinker came across this idea. The whole approach is nonsensical because, first of all, usually you're talking about thinkers that are greater minds than the one that's wasting his time with this kind of nonsense. So he can't possibly know what went on in the thinker's mind. It's absurd. And there's no reason to do it. The motivation is a very base kind of motivation. It's an attempt to put down a thinker and to try to say that the only reason he can't go is because he was raised in this society. It gives some kind of people who are ill, I think, psychologically. It gives them some kind of satisfaction. There's no reason to do that, because the question is, did the man say something that's true or not? That's what I have to be concerned with. I mean, never mind what went on, it's not sensible. The whole pursuit is nonsensical. But the pursuit is nonsensical, it's based on conjecture, and it's always based upon projecting the person's own emotions onto that area. Because, of course, the next logical question is, why is this person saying this about this person? And if he wants to follow logically, he has to say, because he is raised in this society, and because of that, he is saying this. Which means that just like that other person's idea is based upon his idea is based on society, and everybody's idea is false. You might as well just pick up the whole pursuit. The whole thing's a waste of time. It's intrinsically refutable. The whole method is intrinsically refutable. The moment you say, these people feel free, I'm free from all prejudice, but the reason why Rashi said this, because he was raised in France, and he lived in France in the 10th century. So, of course, the reason why he's saying this by Rashi is because he lives here in this century. So, therefore, he might as well say, no. This method leads to one premise, that there's no such thing as truth. And that's why they psychologize Gedolei Yisrael, and they say, Rav Kook held this because he was raised in this. Well, is it true? If it's true, if what Rav Kook is saying is true, so why do you have to say where he thought it was that? Maybe he just came upon the truth. Unless you say it's impossible for man to come upon the truth, in which case, we might as well forget about everything. So we're honest. If man can count upon the truth, and if Rav Kook could have thought this because it is true, so then there's no reason to say, how do you know he thought of it because he was raised in this, because he was a fossil, because he was a that? You don't know that. How am I? You're telling me that no one can count upon the truth unless they have unless you go back to their background. So that means this person himself can't count upon the truth unless he has his background. So he's not true either. And the whole, and there's no reason to, there's no reason to pursue any kind of knowledge, because man is incapable of pursuing knowledge. He's incapable of acquiring knowledge. That is against the whole Torah. That's against Kol Torah. Because once you say that, you're going to say that everything we have is all based upon social causes. So we don't have anything true. All we have is a whole thing based upon social causes. So it's a refutation. It's a refutation, an intrinsic self-refutation. The system is intrinsically refutable in its own terms. Yeah. If you again, if you deny the ability of man to arrive at a truth, so then you might as well just not think anymore. And if you say man can arrive at the truth, what right do you have to say to think the thought of this because of his reason? You know he thought of it because of his environment. He thought it because he's searching for the truth. This is a crazy idea. The Rev one time said that already. The Rev one time said that psychologizing Torah. He spoke, that's called psychologizing Torah. All right? Psychologizing Torah, making Torah, historicizing Torah, these type of things are all basically fear. That's Machish Magidela. And he said, if you want to do that, so why don't you psychologize Euclid? So you tell me, why did Euclid come up with his theory of parallel lines? Because he lived across the street of two parallel streets. Okay? Same kind of idea. If you're saying, in other words, clearly, if you're saying that the person couldn't arrive at the true ideas because the person can't arrive at truth, so he's only dependent on his environment. So then there's no truth in your statement either, because your statement is also not because it's true, but because of your environment. So the whole thing is intrinsically refuted. Okay? Elamai, man can arrive at truth. So what right do you have to say that this thinker thought of this idea because of his environment? Maybe he thought of it because of the process of obtaining truth. Okay?
That's what
I was just saying. Let me just say this. With regard to some of the things that were said, I think we have to stick by one principle. That small people should not try to psychologize or philosophize great minds. It's not their business. They don't know what they're talking about. And they should just try to... There's a certain... That's like... Also, and Rabba. That a person shouldn't try to figure out why his Rebbe did this and his Rebbe did that. Because he's not on the level. If he was on the level, then he'd be the Rebbe. So therefore, a small person should not try to psychologize why the Rav, to understand the Rav psychologically or philosophically, or whether he was happy, or whether he was lonely, or whether he was sad. It's a futile kind of a thing. It's nonsensical. All it does is it shows the nonsense that exists in the person that's doing this. That's all it brings out. It brings out nothing about the Rav. The question was, if a person would say that because of the Rav's wife's tira, there was a change in the Rav. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with a person reporting what happened to an individual. And there's nothing wrong with that, in my mind. In other words, I believe that what Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said was correct, that the proper, that he observed in his father a change, and certain things he was unable to act the way he did previously because of his wife's material. That's something which was an observation that he made, and certainly there's nothing wrong with mentioning that. The only thing that I would add to it, and I don't believe he would disagree with me, and that is, the problem is that a lot of people just aren't on a level to perceive a point properly. And that is that what went on in the Rav's mind after his wife's patira is something that nobody has any right to talk about. And that's, again, to say that he was just unable to concentrate. I don't think that's what was said, by the way. To say that he was just unable to concentrate and just sat around all day depressed, that is wrong. That is false. I don't think that's what the speaker, I don't think that's what Chaim Soloveitchik meant. But to say that because of this event, his mind turned to different areas, that's an observable fact, and whatever is fact is certainly a person has a right to say, as permissible says there's there. If Eov, because of the tragedy that occurred to him, he started to think into a big philosophical problem. He never thought about the problem before. The occurrence caused his energies to concentrate in different areas. And that could happen to any person. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, a person who is a Gadol B'Yisrael has to determine in life there's different areas of philosophy and different areas that he wishes to investigate. Sometimes an event may be a catalyst to cause a person to investigate in different areas that he wouldn't have investigated had that event not occurred. There's nothing unusual about that. I mean, that's certainly not against, or it's not against, it's not degrading a Talmud Chacham to say such a thing. But I just hope that people didn't walk away with the impression that the Rav was just like an ordinary person that became depressed when his wife died and he couldn't learn it. I don't think that was what the speaker meant. I think he meant to say that his modus operandi changed at that point. And in my opinion, his quest for knowledge and his quest for understanding of life took on different areas because of that event. But he wasn't just sitting around depressed. The Rebbe was a great mind, a great thinker. Whatever went on, whatever occurred to him was something that spurred his mind into thought, into creativity, into different areas. And he was not a regular person who just sat around depressed. I don't believe such a thing was possible for Rebbe. I don't think it's possible because he was a thinker of the highest level. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Like the Rav mentioned, you're absolutely right. Okay. Well, Jeremy says the Rav mentioned that Reb Chaim, his grandfather, studied areas of Tum and Taro because when he got older, he had an emotional fear of death. So it caused him to be involved in certain areas of Shas. Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's the whole idea of a human being having experiences. Like the Gemara says, "Kama Patki Avaralaya." It means different experiences. Different experiences cause a person to involve themselves in different areas. Different areas. A person, human being, is subject to experience. And the Rav never sat around just depressed. That not possible for such a mind to do such a thing. Yes. That's right. That's right. It works on itself. That his involvement in learning was what saved him. But Reb Chaim Soloveitchik seemed to say, and I'm not going to say that this is exact. I mean, what it seemed to me was that the Rav, through living the experiences of life, changed the quantitative aspects insofar as how much is under a person's control and how much is not under a person's control. So life's experiences caused them to believe that less is under one's control than he originally thought. Absolutely nothing wrong with making such statements. It's quite possible. I felt that what he said was very good, very, very good, and talking very good. That's correct. In one sense, he's saying that a person is trapped by his environment. He's a prisoner of his environment, and he can't gain any truth. What Chaim Soloveitchik was saying was because of certain things that occurred to him, it caused him to focus on certain areas and to study certain areas with a greater depth and perception, and because of that, he came to a different conclusion than he had before, which every Chacham is going to do. That's right. Now, halacha is with regard to a Talmid, with regard to a son with a parent as well, that you're not supposed to criticize what he says or praise what he says. So praising is also confirming is also a design. Because he's saying as if he needs your askama. So so I don't think it's proper to I don't think it's proper for a person unless he's on a certain level to try to praise his Rebbe in the sense of like just ascribing to him astronomical kind of positions, I mean, relative to other Gedolim. Certain points he could make, yes. I mean, it's a moot question. I have to know the particular. Yeah. Ordinarily, like I say, I mean, that's yeshivish nonsense, getting involved in those greater and smaller, that's a waste of time. Tvarim b'teilim, and it's a waste of time. But Rav Soloveitchik said about the other people being jealous of him, was because of the fact that when he was Masper, he didn't want anyone to think that the fact that his brother wasn't recognized universally, and he didn't want anybody to think that reflected a defect in his brother. So he was trying to show that the Hesped, that this was a defect in the people who failed to recognize him, but not because he didn't deserve that recognition. That wasn't the reason. That's Lachem being in Hesped, being Masper, to show the godless in person. That's something which is lacking today. Very much lacking today, unfortunately, in Yeshiva Shua, where the Yesodi Hadas are not really discussed it. People walk away with false ideas. False ideas in Yesodi is worse than Yesodi Hadas means that everything is based on that. So if there's one weakness in Yesodi, the whole thing topples. So although we didn't really learn halacha today, I think it was a worthwhile excursion. Okay.